I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel is an extraordinary scene. Jesus, who has so much compassion for sinners, who is so forgiving of tax collectors and prostitutes, who is so ready to pour himself out on behalf of all people, in this scene shows no patience or tolerance, but takes on the mantle of the classically Hebrew prophet and cleanses the temple. So what's going on? Perhaps the key to understanding the scene is to focus not so much on the overturning of the tables of the money changers, but rather their overturning of the priority of God's house. What was supposed to be a place of prayer has been reduced to a place of trade. Profiteering has replaced worship, and in the name of keeping God's law, the law is being undermined. One supposedly exchanged the coinage of the empire with its idolatrous imagery of Caesar for the sacred coinage of the temple, and then proceeded to purchase the animals properly chosen and properly prepared for sacrifice. In fact, this ostensible obedience to God's ways was a horrid distortion that stole from the poor and brought scandal to the holy place. What Jesus condemned was the idolatry of the traders and the priests who supported them. Without ambiguity, Jesus the prophet condemns that sin. That takes us to Exodus, with its framework for understanding God's law and how we transgress it. All sin is a violation of the first commandment, because all sin is about idolatry, putting something or someone in a place that belongs to God alone. So which someone do we place in that high and lofty place? Well, it's me, of course. Sin is about ignoring or rejecting God's way by doing it my way, by putting my ego at the center that belongs to God alone. Sin is about refusing to let God be God and trying to play God myself. This first commandment, then, is the summary of the Decalogue, the 10 words that describe who God would have the people become. In other words, today's passage explains how the people should respond to what God has done for them in the Exodus. It is not a question of their keeping a set of rules that give them the path to earn or merit God's favor. Quite the contrary. Before the Jews ever heard of even this minimal statement of the law of Moses, God had already acted on their behalf by defeating the Pharaoh, freeing them from slavery, and bringing them safely through the waters of the Red Sea. Yes, they are God's people, that is their new identity. But that status is entirely a gift. It will only be much later, with the legalism held up in the Lord's time, that the sequence will be reversed. And some will foolishly think that they can force God to reward them, indeed save them, by keeping the law given on Sinai. The Ten Commandments do not provide a magic formula for guaranteeing salvation. Moses is not offering a code of behavior that will earn or achieve the community's identity. But rather, the Decalogue is a description of how God's people should behave, the mode of behavior that is consistent with their new identity. And lest they be tempted to forget that this identity is a gift, the scriptures clearly record how they became God's people, the people of the Exodus. Before they knew about the law, or even that summary of the law recorded in the reading we heard this morning. This fundamental teaching is as applicable to Christians as it is to Jews. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we immediately pray the parallel petition, "Thy will be done." Discipleship is about obedience to God's way and letting go of our way, our will. We do not earn or merit entrance into God's kingdom by right behavior. It is all gift. Think about it for a moment. If heaven were a reward for our good deeds, we would never get there. By definition, heaven is infinite and our deeds are finite. The numbers will never add up. We can be as generous as Mother Teresa and as courageous as Dorothy Day, but no one of us can ever do enough to earn eternal life. It is gift. This new identity as a community of Christians. But do we not have something to do? Do we not have to do something? Do we not have to look at the rules of behavior? Of course we do. And they're vitally important that we might be genuine, authentic, real in living who we are. But the commandments come after the bestowing of the gift. The key is always to remember the sequence. God loves us first and gifts us with our identity. And only second do we love God by living who we are, by a mode of behavior that is consistent with our identity. A creed then comes before a code. Only when we acknowledge what God has done do we begin to understand what we are called to do. To reverse the order is to begin the slide that puts our ways in the place of God's ways, the idolatry that violates the first commandment. Today's liturgy offers an antidote to the self-deception used by the money changers in the temple, or the self-indulgence whereby we refuse to acknowledge our own need for conversion. The self-searching and the repentance of this Lenten time are just another way to let God be God, our God, the one who would save us through, with, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.